You're listening to BQN. Assimilate the audio.
Engage.
78 years have passed since the days of the original USS Enterprise. Now a new galaxy starship has been designed.
Transporter Chief, beam our listeners aboard. Welcome to Galaxy Class, a Star Trek The Next Generation podcast on BQN. I am your host, Diplomatic Standard Bearer Kevin Scarf, and with me today is no one. I am here all by myself. Joe and Amy are off on an away mission in the Highlands of Scotland. Rhea is relocating to a distant starbase, and they have left me here all alone to take care of things here at Galaxy Class Central. And I thought that's fine. Let's just go forward and do this as if it was any other episode. I can fill an hour. I'm sure I can. So why don't we start by checking the communications array and seeing if we have any comments from our listeners.
Logs accessed.
So on our page on the BQN Collective, we do have some feedback about our last episode, which was episode 96, The Dangers of Going to Conferences. Paul Wright Jr. said, "This was a great show. By the way, Worf was present on the bridge of the Enterprise from the Borg-infested reality." Thank you for clearing that up. I knew one of our listeners would always correct us, especially when Amy and Joe are involved. Our friend Rhea Papa Giorgio said, "What's the episode where Geordi gets kidnapped by the Romulans on his way to a conference?" Both Bradley Barber and Paul Wright Jr. let us know that that is in the mind's eye. Paul Wright adds that that's the Manchurian Candidate episode. Amy said, "I knew we missed something. Geordi." And poor Geordi, he always gets overlooked. That was another great episode. And another episode where you should really think twice before you head to a conference. And then our friend Christos Generis said, "You missed Suspicions. Beverly met Riga at a conference. Of course, it eventually leads to his death, but it did lead to a metaphasic shields for the Enterprise, which saves it from destruction in Descent Part 2. If you have feedback for us, let us know. You can contact us through all the methods that we will let you know about. We, who's this we? It's just me today. About all the methods, I'll let you know all about those at the end of the show. So why don't we get right in to our main topic?
This is the captain. Senior officers will report to my ready room immediately.
Today's topic is one of our Build Your Own Watch List episodes, and today's topic is time travel. Now, this is a topic that comes up quite often in all forms of Star Trek. It didn't really come up that often on Star Trek The Next Generation. As I was going through the list of episodes and the shows that have time travel, I'm seeing about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. 11 episodes that involve time travel. And they sort of fall into two categories. There are episodes where our heroes travel through time to either through no fault of their own, through some kind of temporal accident, or on purpose. And then there are episodes where other people come from a different time and affect our crew. There are also a couple of episodes where time travel is sort of an anomaly or a mistake, and no one is really at fault or involved, and we'll touch on those too. So I thought, why don't I just pick some from column A and some from column B, and we'll just go through these one by one. I might as well go through the whole list. I don't have anybody else to talk to and bounce things off of, so I will go through these episodes and you let me know what you think in our comments. So the very first episode of the Star Trek The Next Generation that involves time travel is We'll Always Have Paris. Now, time travel, this wasn't a we're going to travel into the future, we're going to travel into the past episode. This episode featured time loops. Dr. Mannheim was conducting experiments, and these time loops got away from him. They were affecting the Enterprise, the USS Lalo, and a farming colony. Basically, you would end up seeing yourself, or it would feel like deja vu. Things that had already happened would happen again, or things that you hadn't done yet, you would see future echoes of yourself. It turns out that this was an antimatter problem. This was episode 24 of season one, by the way. It turns out this was an antimatter problem, and it took Data adding antimatter into the system to fix this issue. But the problem was, when he went to do it, there were three Datas, there were three timelines, there were, the time continuum was all messed up, and they had to figure out which Data was the right Data. Did he succeed? Yes, of course he did. It's Data, and he's our hero, and it was only season one, and he was with us for six more years of the series. So we'll always have Paris. You know, that the real thrust of this episode was the character study between Picard and his ex-girlfriend, but the time travel was the impetus that got them together. So next in our series of time travel episodes was season 2, episode 13, and that was Time Squared. Time Squared is another inadvertent time travel episode. No one planned to travel through time. Things just sort of happened. This was the episode where the Enterprise discovers a shuttlecraft sort of floating out in space. And when they pick it up and rendezvous with it, they discover that it is one of its own shuttles, and that who is on the shuttle? Captain Picard himself. Through some machinations and methods, they discover that he is Captain Picard from 6 hours into the future. And the closer they get to that time, the more and more agitated Captain Picard from the future becomes. He is, of course, this is throwing the whole crew into a bit of a tizzy. Do they continue on the path that they were planning on going on, or do they change the future? Can they change the future? So I think when it comes to time travel episodes, that becomes one of the key issues. Can you change things, or are you on a set path? And Star Trek sometimes likes to have it both ways. Things that are supposed to happen or must happen do happen. And sometimes you can go back and change things. In this case, they do figure out what caused the Enterprise to be destroyed. And our Picard actually kills his future self and watches himself die to stop him from having the same thing happen again. And of course they do save the day, and everyone lives happily ever after. So yeah, that is another, you know, I think that's one of the stronger episodes of season two. I think actually both of these episodes might be the stronger episodes of the first couple of seasons, which weren't known for their strengths. The time travel in this episode was created by an energy vortex. So that is one of many, many, many methods of time travel that we have in the Star Trek universe. The next time there's any time travel, it is caused by a temporal rift. And this happens in one of our all-time favorite episodes, and everybody's favorite, one of everybody's favorite episodes, season 3, episode 15, Yesterday's Enterprise. So, the log line of this: while investigating a temporal rift, the Enterprise encounters a ghost from its own past, the Enterprise C, which travels 22 years into the future and changes the course of history. With the flow of history changed, Tasha Yar still lives, and the Federation is losing a decade-long war with the Klingon Empire. This is a classic. This is a classic to end all classics. If I had to pare down this list of 11 to the top 5, this would be number 1, I think. And this is, again, a case of, can you change the past? And in this case, because the C gets knocked into the future, it changes the whole timeline. And and they have to be sent back in order to fix things. You get this the classic hallmarks of a time travel episode, you know, the tragic sacrifices, the must I do this in order for things to be made right. We also do have the sort of issue of how much can we trust Guinan, and Picard, even in an alternate warlike future, trusts Guinan implicitly, and just based on her say-so, can send an entire crew to their deaths 100 years in the past. So I think, again, this is a classic time travel episode. Again, we're in season three. We haven't had an episode where our characters time travel. This is another people from the past coming to visit through machinations. Speaking, so we've had people from the past coming to visit us. We also have people from the future come to visit us, and that is a scene in episode like A Matter of Time, which is season 5, episode 9. So after the glory that was yesterday's Enterprise, we take over a year before we come back to time travel. But in this time we have a time traveler claiming to be from the 26th century who arrives to witness an attempt to save a doomed planet. This one introduces Berlinghoff Rasmussen, our professor from the 26th century, or is he? Again, this is this plays into the tropes of time travel. Do you do things that will change the future? They're trying to figure out whether Rasmussen is from the future. They try to question him, but Picard's like, no, we can't know what our own future is. And the question becomes why? Like, what harm is there in knowing what fate has in store for you? So the question again becomes, can you change your own fate? But also, can we trust Mr. Rasmussen? And of course, it turns out that he's not from the 26th century. He actually stole the time pod from a time traveler who was visiting the 22nd century. And he's just a fun sort of con artist. I would have liked to have seen him again. I wonder where he ended up. You know, Rasmussen was sent to the brig. And Picard ends by telling him that there are many legitimate historians who'd be interested in talking to a human from the 22nd century. I wonder where he did end up. It would be fun to know. So again, this is another episode where someone else is time traveling, not our people. The first episode really where our people time travel is Cause and Effect. Now, it's not a huge time travel. It's just a loop. It's a time loop that causes things to repeat and repeat and repeat. And this is one of my favorites. So this is only 9 episodes later, season 5, episode 18. And when we saw the Enterprise blow up for the first time, it was shocking and exciting and fun. And we knew you were in for a ride. Jonathan Frakes directed this episode. The cause of the time travel here, again, is a temporal distortion. But, again, like the others, you know, it's not our people time traveling to go on an adventure. They just stumbled into this, but it was, in fact, the problem that the USS Bozeman was coming through this time temporal vortex, again, from the 23rd century. So, but this one, this episode, because of the nature of the time travel, this loop where we're seeing the same things over and over and over again, and the feeling that these people get that something is going wrong and something is just not quite right, and it's so well done. I love this episode. Dr. Crusher gets to shine in this episode, and of course we get to see the Enterprise blow up several times. It's just great fun. And we get that nice cameo from Kelsey Grammer at the end of the episode. And just an exciting, all-around great episode. Again, if I'm putting a top five time travel episode together, list together, Cause and Effect goes up on that list with yesterday's Enterprise. So, again, we really haven't had an episode where our crew goes into the past or the future and decides to make some changes. But that all changes with the end of Season 5 and the beginning of Season 6 with Time's Arrow. Time's Arrow begins with the crew finding Data's head in a cave. And it has been there for several hundred years. A race of aliens called the Davidians have been traveling back and forth through time. And we discover that Data had been on Earth 500 years ago. So here we are. We are end of five seasons in, and finally our crew is leaving their comfort of the 24th century and jumping through time. This is a fun episode. We also get to learn how Guinan could have met Picard before Picard met Guinan. I find that really interesting. I think that's a really fun bit of time travel shenanigans that we've got here. And they travel through time because of another temporal vortex, and our crew ends up going back in time to the 19th century, and so much fun. That was our cliffhanger, was the disappearance of the crew into the vortex, and we finally get the resolution at the beginning of Season 6, where our heroes have become a Shakespearean acting troupe and are on the search for Data. Data, who's doing quite well for himself in the 19th century, befriends some famous authors. An author who ends up coming back to the 24th century with them. And so we've got our fish out of water with Time's Arrow, in Time's Arrow Part 2, with Mr. Samuel Clemens, Mark Twain himself, jumping ahead to the 24th century. Again, it's always fun to see fish out of water stories. It's fun to see our future heroes trying to get along okay in a past time. And it's fun to see how people from the past react to such an amazing future as the Federation is in the 24th century. So, probably Time Zero would go on my list too. I think this is another great one. Another way that people can travel through time is through Q powers. Q has a couple of times in his messing with our crew affected where they are in the timeline, and no more so than Tapestry. And Tapestry is an episode that is like the It's a Wonderful Life of Star Trek. What if Captain Picard had made different choices? So is this really time travel? Who's to say? Did Picard really relive these things and make different decisions? Because it's Q, it's really hard to tell. It could be. In the end, everything is back to normal. Our Captain Picard is the man he always has been. So I don't know if as good an episode as Tapestry is, I don't know if Tapestry is an episode that I would include in my time travel list. It would go in my watch list for sure, but I think I might save Tapestry for that. We have just a few more here. This isn't really time travel as time shenanigans, and that is Timescape. Which is the episode where time is slowed down and reversed when the Enterprise and a Romulan warbird are caught in a time fragment, and Picard, Data, Deanna, and Geordi enter the fragment in a runabout. I believe that Joe and Amy talked about this episode last week as they were coming back from a conference, of course. But this is playing with time, right? We get to see time stop and time run backwards. And it becomes a puzzle for our heroes to solve when they have to figure out how to get these two ships apart without destroying them. A really fun episode, a strong episode for Deanna, and a great, you know, a great episode all around. I love this episode, and this is season 6, episode. This is episode 25 of season 6. So we're almost to the end of season 6 here now. Again, this doesn't involve people coming or going, and but instead it's a time mystery. I like this one a lot, and this one would go on my list. I realized now, going down my list, that I missed one from an earlier season. And it's not one that people think of as a time travel episode, but there is some time travel involved. Probably wouldn't make my list. It's got some people in it that I know some of my co-hosts don't care for. And that's Captain's Holiday. In Captain's Holiday, which is season 3, episode 19, Picard goes to Risa on a vacation, but things keep interfering with his rest and relaxation. Now, where does the time travel come in? There are some people who are out to search. They're searching for some artifacts, and they're actually time travelers. That's Cal Dano, Ajor, and Baratas. They are Vorgons who are using Vorgon technology to time travel through Picard's Risen vacation. They're looking for the Toxu Thot, an artifact that was built in the 27th century, and it was hidden in this time. In this case, we've got an artifact from the future that's made its way to the past. We've got bad guys who have come looking for it. And why is it time travel? It didn't need to be. Like, time travel isn't vital to this episode. This episode is supposed to be a comedic romp. It's Picard playing Indiana Jones. It's Picard getting to spend some time with Vash. The fact that the artifact is from the 27th century, the Toxu Thot, not that big a deal. So would this make a list of my top time travel episodes? Nope. No, it would not. The less we say about that, the better. We do have two more episodes that have time travel in them. The next one is Firstborn. And Firstborn is episode 21 of season 7. And in this episode, a mysterious family friend and advisor encourages Worf's son, Alexander, to become a warrior. Now, I'm not a huge fan of Klingon stories, especially ones that involve young Alexander. He's a bit petulant. That's the word I'm looking for. And he's a bit grating. And Worf doesn't really care that much. It doesn't seem to be. But in this episode, Worf and Alexander attend a festival. And it is a festival on the planet Maranga 4 at a Klingon outpost, and they are celebrating Khat Baval. And Alexander, Worf wants Alexander to partake in some Klingon culture. While they're there, they are introduced to an older Klingon man who befriends them and tries to relate to Alexander. This episode also has a link to Deep Space Nine, because Data is searching for records of the Duras sisters, who were last seen on DS9 at that point. Quark. So we end up seeing Quark in this episode, which is kind of fun. But who is this mysterious Klingon man who's befriended Alexander? Why, it is none other than Alexander himself, who has come back in time from 40 years in the future. In this timeline, he said he'd never wanted to be a Klingon warrior, and he never did become a warrior, but he became a diplomat and a peacemaker, and then Alexander, things didn't go the way our adult Alexander wanted them to. So he's trying to warn his younger self that he needs to become a warrior. And so this is another case of someone else, someone from the future, coming back to warn somebody in the present. And in this case, it works, because young Alexander is ready for Bat'leth practice by the end of the episode. So there we go. Some Klingon time travel. It's fun. We get more Klingon time travel in the new series. I do love the Time Monks of Boreth and Captain Pike knowing his own future. Perfect on Strange New Worlds. Love that, love that, love that. But this is some early Klingon time travel. So then we come to the last time travel episode of the regular series, and that, of course, is All Good Things. There is time travel of a sort in this episode. Again, it is Q-powered time travel. And again, is it really time travel? Or is it all in Picard's head? We're not sure. It does end up saving the galaxy, because they discover the anomaly that's moving backwards through time. This has to go on the list. We get to see... The whole point of the time travel in this episode is that we get to see where we have come from with our friends on the Enterprise and where we could be going to with our friends on the Enterprise. Both fun, and so it's so good to see Tasha and O'Brien back at the beginning, Captain Beverly Picard in the future, Admiral Riker. Just, if any show had a perfect ending episode, it's Star Trek The Next Generation. Is this going on my list, Q powers or not? Of course it is. It's All Good Things. It is one of the best episodes of science fiction television ever made. It was heartfelt, and it couldn't have been done on any other show, because it was about our characters, our friends, on the Enterprise D. So you said that was, I said that was the last episode of the time travel with on the series, but is it the last time travel that our friends do? No, of course not. There are two more, three if you count the shenanigans of season two of Star Trek Picard. But let's not get there first. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. Let's talk about Star Trek Generations. Is there time travel in Star Trek Generations? Some would say no, but yet, I would say nay, there is time travel. We have a Nexus. The Nexus is a plot device. Let's just call it what it is. It is a plot device that allows Kirk and Picard to get together. Kirk entered the Nexus 80 years earlier, but time doesn't pass as normal. So when Picard shows up, he hasn't aged. No time has passed. They can choose when to enter and exit the Nexus, and they do. They exit just in time to save the day, for Kirk to die a heroic death, and for Picard to go back to his crew triumphant in the battle against Dr. Sorin. This is not a great movie. It's fun to see Kirk and Picard together. Only time travel could have gotten them that way. So am I happy it happened? Yes. Is it something I'm going to rush right out and watch again anytime soon? Probably not. But the next film. Time travel is not only vital, it is the key thing in this episode, in this movie, and that is Star Trek First Contact. The Borg create a temporal vortex, go back in time to the dawning of warp drive on Earth, and try to assimilate the planet before anybody is there to stop them. Of course, Picard and his friends get to go back in time and stop them through the use of Borg temporal vortex technology. Is this movie exciting? Yes. Is this movie scary? Yes. Does this movie have fun time travel plot elements? Of course it does. Meeting your heroes and finding out they're not all they're cracked up to be. People from the past learning about a mysterious magical future where everybody is perfect. Yes. Is this a perfect movie? No. But is it a great movie? Yes. Is it the best Star Trek The Next Generation movie? Close your ears, Amy, but I'm going to say yes, it is. This is a really fun romp. It's reminiscent of Aliens. It's reminiscent of just good times, shoot 'em up sci-fi, but it's also got a really fun plot. And the Enterprise crew are hailed as conquering heroes when they return from the past, and they have saved the galaxy again. The planet Earth. So yeah, that is the last time that all of our characters participated in any time travel. But our fair captain did do his share of time travel this year, didn't he? On season 2 of Star Trek Picard, in the episode Assimilation, the entire crew of La Serena time traveled. They did it the old-fashioned way, a way we hadn't seen really since Star Trek 4, the one with the whales. And they used the slingshot effect with some assistance by a Borg queen. So that got them to the past, where we spent, it felt like way too long, in 21st century Los Angeles. They did what they had to do back there. And how did they get back to the 25th century in this case? It's almost the 25th century by the time of Star Trek Picard. Well, our friend Q. So Q can actually send people through time. It's not just all in people's heads. And he brought not everybody who went back, but Raffi, Seven, and Elnor, along with Picard. He sent them all home to the right future. And Picard and his friends had saved the timeline. And some of our friends decided to stay behind. I hope we get to see Rios again. I love that character. Some became Borg queens. Let's hope we see Agnes again too. I really like her too. And the rest of the crew came back home, and did they come home to a hero's welcome? Probably not. I don't think anybody even knows what happened, but they did save the galaxy, and they did it by time travel to the 21st century. So that's a list of all the times that time travel came across the paths of our friends and crewmates here. If I was going to pick my top five, I would pick Yesterday's Enterprise, Cause and Effect, Timescape, All Good Things, and Star Trek First Contact. I think that would be a really fun time travel list. If you have a list of five time travel movies, time travel episodes of Star Trek that you would love to see in a watch list, please let us know. And we will read those out in a future episode.
Incoming transmission.
So we would love to hear what you thought of today's episode. I would like to hear what you thought of today's episode. Are you tired of my voice yet? I'm kind of tired of my own voice, but you let me know. You can let us know by joining our Facebook group, the BQN Collective, and we can continue our discussion there. Share your watch lists of time travel episodes. Let me know if I've missed anything. You can also tweet your thoughts at Galaxy Class Pod. I'd love for you to reach out. You can also follow the network on Twitter and Instagram at BQN Podcasts. So please hit the subscribe button on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts and leave us a star rating and written review. This will help others to find the show. Now, this is normally the point of the show where I would ask one of my co-hosts where we can find them, But it's just me today, so I will let you know. You can find me in the BQN Collective on Facebook. You can find me on True North Nerds, a podcast I do with a couple of local friends, which is about all things nerdy and geeky. A lot of MCU and Star Wars stuff lately, because there's been a lot of that. You can find me on Stage Whispers, the local theater podcast, which is a show I do with a different couple of friends, and our latest news episode. If you want to know what's going on in the theater world in Central Ontario in the middle of July, that episode also released today, and you can find that wherever you get your podcasts. I don't mention this very often, but I am also on a Star Trek fan-made audio drama called Endless Vigilance, where I play the commander of a starbase, a Commodore, and there are lots of interesting plot lines going on there. It's really fun to be part of an online drama. Recording lines is interesting when you're all alone and you don't have anybody to bump up against. So I do recommend giving Endless Vigilance a listen. Again, you can find that wherever you find podcasts.
Priority one message from Starfleet coming in on secured channel.
If you'd like to help us keep all of our shows coming to you each week, you can become a patron of the network on Patreon. We're putting out more exclusive content for our patrons, like It's Green or Amy's Math Moments, that you won't want to miss. With a monthly Patreon subscription of $5 or more, you can join our Meetings of the Hive Mind on the second Saturday of each month. Watch your Patreon messages for details. Now, if you feel so inclined, please check out all the details at patreon.com/BQN. Now, a huge shout out to our very own associate producer, Mr. Jim McMahon. Thank you for Trivia with Jim, and we are so grateful for your support. Now, we would also like to thank our executive producers who make this all possible, and they are Mark White, Amy Nelson, Tony Robinson, and Ken Tripp. Special thanks to Tony Robinson for our artwork. So thank you for beaming aboard the Galaxy Class, and until next time, I don't know how or why, but I'm moving back and forth through time. Stay classy, Galaxy.